This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The big one for the day, certainly that MPC decision coming out of the South African Reserve Bank. And as expected, interest rates have been left unchanged for the fifth consecutive meeting. A big one, though, I think for many people is that interest rates are sitting at, or the repo rate at 8.25%. It's the highest level in 15 years. And we seem to be in this environment for longer. If you'll remember the dark days of COVID, interest rates were down to 3.5%. And of course, we just haven't quite seen that. But no one's expecting those low levels again, but I don't know how much of this higher for longer the South African economy can take. And joining us for analysis is Thabani Ndwandwe, who is a Chief Risk Officer for Personal and Private Banking at Standard Bank. Thabani, good evening. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, Nolitan, and good evening to the listeners. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic, Thabani. Let's talk about this. We're not surprised, I think, that interest rates remain unchanged. But the big question is, for how much longer can the South African economy take this high interest rate environment?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we're definitely not surprised. But when we started the year, we had slightly lower expectations of inflation. And as the governor today was pointing out that at the beginning of the year, in the January meeting, the conversation was around getting into that 4.5% much more earlier than now we are targeting, which is in 2025, later in the year. So all of a sudden, our forecast for when the interest rates will come down, we initially had pinned down May, and we said in the May discussion we should expect another, 25 basis point reduction, leading to about 100 basis points this year. But we're starting to sort of pin down about a 75 basis points for 2024 and a 25 basis point for 2025, which means we should expect a reduction only in July this year.
Sure. I also want to really speak about, some of the things that the governor did say today. He did say that it looks like South Africa's inflation is starting to follow the global trend of being anchored in services rather than goods. Thabani, can we then, deduce that goods inflation is less sticky than what we might see with services?
A lot of our services issues, if you just think about some of the challenges we've got in South Africa, we've seen last year tariff increases that were much higher than inflation rates that we've seen for things like food. We've seen, for example, if you think about the services you pay for in electricity, that has definitely been much more higher than the goods that you typically buy. And port and rail challenges that we've got in the country does increase some of your sort of input costs. So we do think that's going to be a big shift for us. And we, as a country, as we get better alternative energies, that will help at least reduce that, hopefully, as we get that. One of the things you would have seen is the impact of electricity on our growth. We anticipate, and as you pointed out today, that we'll see that reducing in the next year, just a bit, at least becoming only about 0.6% of the GDP impact. So again, it's an old issue of infrastructure, and if you don't have good infrastructure and paying more for things like electricity and even rates and taxes, that does get much more sticker to manage, and it's not easy to manage with the typical interest rates overall.
One thing so many people want to know, and I think it would bring a lot of comfort to people, is that if this high interest rates environment was working somewhat, and I'm wondering if that can be said with absolute conviction, that it is difficult, but it's working. We are getting there, because it does look like we are sitting in that high 5% range for inflation at this point, and it does look like we're not getting to that 4.5%.
Absolutely. I think in my view, and if you speak to different economists, you'll hear different views, because one of the key issues that typically we like to see is that interest rates tend to work well in what we call demand-driven in inflation. So in essence, demand-driven inflation is when people are buying things and driving prices up. Now, interest rates do help, because what they do, they moderate that and reduce the number of people buying things and increasing prices. But in this environment where you've got a bit of inflation that's not always driven by demand, and it's on the supply side, which is the issues of services and the likes, then it's always harder to manage the inflation with interest rate. But what it helps with to drive interest rates. And you would have seen the Reserve Bank governor started at length talking about the international interest rates. And the reason why is that if you have a big difference between your interest rate and the interest rates of the international markets, what you get it flows into those international markets, especially if those international markets are much more stable. And that normally weakens your currency. And if you've got a weaker currency, it then leads to your buying power reducing, and then you start buying things at a more expensive price using your currency. And that leads to a higher inflation. So what this high interest rate environment has helped us with is that at least stabilized our currency. Not at the levels we'd want it to be, but it has stabilized our currency against international markets, helping us manage the inflation, which is why we are at least at this level of now that we are in. And as we continue having that parity between international markets, it will allow us to start moving closer to this 4.5 target, even though it won't happen in the short term, but more in the medium term.
We know, Tabani, that we have, what we refer to as, the real economy, as well as maybe financial markets. And I'm wondering here if, we are also winning maybe the battle with the financial markets, that perspective. But if we look at the real economy day to day, and even the ability for this very consumption driven economy to take on this high interest rate environment, that is where we could possibly be losing the battle.
There's no doubt that the ordinary man in the street is taking a lot of pain. Just some of the stats that, we talk about. If you look at someone who has a home loan, who has a mortgage, that person, if they were paying 10,000 rands in 2011 at the low levels of, 2021 at the low levels of interest rates just after COVID, that person in installments would have gone up now by 44%, which means they will be paying 14,400, right, from that time to now. So that's a big increase for most people. At the same time, when you've got a car and you're paying an installment on your car, that installment between that period, November 2021 to now, would have been up between 13 and 15%. So you add all of that plus the cost services that we're talking about having gone up, and then you'll see that the core inflation is still a bit sort of sticky at the moment. And all of that, which is food and other things that we're paying for in general, it is a very difficult environment for the ordinary person. The point that, though, we have to just think about is that at the end of the day, while the interest rate is high, if it was allowed to sort of deteriorate further, the implication, the alternative, in terms of inflation, the exchange rate, etc., would have been worse. If our currency devalued much higher, I think the cost of living would have been even worse and would have affected the ordinary citizen, particularly those who are earning grants, those who are buying, who the only big thing that they need is buying food. Those people would have been suffering even more, and the worst of the worst of our population, the worst affected of our population.
Well, certainly giving us some perspective there. Things are tough, but they could be tougher, Tabani. Thank you for your call. I think we do have Tsepo from Pretoria, actually, who would like to engage us, actually. So let's head over to you, Tsepo. Hi, Tsepo. How are you?
Hi, Lolitando.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead, Tabani and I are both listening.
Yeah, look, my view here, look, I'm not an economist, but my understanding is the investors actually make more money. Because when you invest, then the interest rates are high, so the returns are more. How about that the Reserve Bank is actually protecting our investments here? In other words, if you drop your investment rate in South Africa and America still, or any other market, are still high, will that not drive these investments and these investors, they are going to go to those markets when interest rates are high? Can it not be that there is not really inflation targeting? It may be partial inflation targeting, but in the main, it's really to protect from disinvestment in South Africa. And this part is not said. Nobody tells us about, what about the investment, the direct foreign investment? What about that? Because if the government wants to keep the investors in South Africa, they will not drop our repo rate to be lower than the main market, in other words, American market, because that would obviously drive the disinvestment and into those markets. I don't know. Can you comment? I'm just thinking there's more than this inflation targeting, but it's also partially that they're protecting the disinvestment, they're protecting the current investment in the country. They're making sure that people are not moving away from our economy. I don't know. I'm thinking that definitely might be the reason. Why would they always wait for America before they change this in our country?
Absolutely, Tabo. You're not an economist, but I think you're definitely onto it. Tabani, please do go ahead.
Absolutely, Tabo. One of the points maybe you would have heard in the beginning I speak about is that what the Reserve Bank does look into is the difference between our interest rates, of course, and the international interest rates. That is something they factor in. And the reason why they factor it in is that if we think about investors out there looking for bargains, et cetera, they will choose the economies that give them the best sort of, let's call it, rates, and based on those market risks, let's call it that. And I'm probably using the risk and saying how safe is those markets. So if you drop your interest rates too far compared to the international markets, you may lose the flows of those investments. But that's not why the Reserve Bank is doing it, is to avoid the flows so that you can minimize the impact on your exchange rate, which then flows into inflation. So the aim is to still manage inflation, but what you're trying to avoid by this differential is that if you reduce investments coming in, the exchange rate can be affected, which means your buying power, your ability to buy internationally is reduced, and you start buying things at a more expensive price, which then, you know, becomes a higher inflation rate. So it's still an inflation targeting, but you are managing all of those factors at the same time.
Brilliant. Thank you for that, Tabani. It's been a pleasure speaking to you this evening.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
You too. That was Tabani Ndwandwe. He is Chief Risk Officer for Personal and Private Banking, Standard Bank. Really giving us, I think, a fantastic a recap of what happened with the Reserve Bank, but helping us understand all the issues that need to be balanced. And I think what's very frightening about what he says is, yes, things are tough, but if we didn't have these high interest rates, things could be tougher.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.